This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, you're with Caroline and Ezra. And this evening, we're speaking about providing food for the homeless folks. The recent flood crisis has shown that Malaysians are extremely capable in coming together to help those in need. But what about those folks in our city who need help every day, especially when it comes to having a decent meal? Thankfully, there seems to be an emerging group of Malaysians who are addressing the issue in the form of soup kitchens or food and supply runs. And joining the fray are two brand new NGOs, Meals for All and Need to Feed the Need. Joining us is Ramesh Vadivalu, founder of Meals for All, and Cindy Gan, co-founder of Need to Feed the Need. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
So tell us very quickly about your organization and what was the trigger point to starting these respective organizations?
Okay. Meals for All is relatively new. I started it July this year.
July last year. Yes.
Let me go back. My passion is food. I'm a restaurateur, and my passion is food.
You're a Malaysian.
Yes, true Malaysian, indeed. And I always wanted to do something charitable. So therefore, I put this together and using the network of restaurants that I know to provide a decent meal, a wholesome meal, to the urban poor through the soup kitchens.
What do you mean, put together the network of restaurants? How does that work?
Okay. If you're familiar with soup kitchens, some soup kitchens prepare their own meal. Some soup kitchens actually go out and buy meals. But there are gazillions of restaurants out there in the Klang Valley who can actually produce wholesome meal at a reasonable rate. And we can use this meal and we provide them to the soup kitchen, taking out the burden from the soup kitchen of actually preparing or sourcing out the meals.
All right. And do you have a very large network? Are many restaurants keen to sign up with this program?
Unfortunately, at this point, there are only two who are confirmed. The rest, we are still negotiating.
Right.
The reason why they are not confirmed is because I'm setting up a standard operating procedure. And I want all the restaurants to follow strictly to these procedures before we can announce they are on board.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
And Cindy, tell us a bit more about Need to Feed the Need, or NFN. How did that come about?
Well, more than a year ago, five of us just got together through actually one of the TTDI forum in Facebook. And it was through a shout out, and we just got together and we found that there was a need for a soup kitchen on Thursdays in Chow Kit. So we decided that we should take up the challenge. And once we started, there was no turning back already. And we have been doing so every Thursday since that day.
Cindy, how do you identify that it's Thursday specifically that there is a need? I mean, are there other groups that that perhaps help do the same thing on every other day of the week except for Thursday? Is that how...
Yeah, actually, when we went, one of the girls that actually initiated this, she's no longer with us, but, well, she found out that on Thursdays, no soup kitchen was in Chow Kit area.
Right.
So, but every other day, there's at least one soup kitchen giving out food.
Right.
At that time, it was probably about 200 people
who
were the recipients of Chow Kit.
And that's how Thursday came about.
Mm-hmm. And for either of you, Ramesh, you mentioned about wanting to help the urban poor. Was it something that you had a personal experience with, or was it something that you heard or you saw and that you felt that the situation is not getting any better? Is that what prompted you to sort of start this whole thing?
Well, I do things very impromptu, I would say. But I mean, this might sound very pretentious, but I just find it's my calling. And this is my passion. And there are people out there who need help. There's a lot of people who need help. There are people, the old people need help. Orphans need help. But I just, at that point, I felt that it's the urban poor that I would like to help. And that's it.
And clearly with...
There's no science behind it.
Well, with your relationship with food, it seemed to be sort of a really nice fit. So what sort of a structure did you want to put in place so that this was something that could be sustainable in the long term?
Okay. Going back to the objective of Meals for All, what I wanted to do was I wanted to put together the network of restaurants who have the capability to produce meals and soup kitchens who have the distribution network. So we put together the restaurants to provide the meal using public fund to the soup kitchen, and let the soup kitchens, with their expertise of distributing the food, distribute the food to those who really need them.
All right, we're speaking about two brand new NGOs, Meals for All and Need to Feed the Need, or NFN. We'll be right back after this. This is BFM 89.9. It's the evening edition. You're with Caroline and Ezra. We're speaking with Ramesh Vadivalu, founder of Meals for All, as well as Cindy Gunn, co-founder of Need to Feed the Need, two brand new NGOs addressing, of course, you know, some of the bigger problems we're facing in the city about providing food and assistance for the homeless folks.
That's right. So, Ramesh, you were saying a little earlier that so what you'd like to do and what you are doing is essentially connecting your network of restaurateurs rather together with soup kitchens who will be able to distribute the food. You said you were coming up with SOPs, you know, for these restaurants to follow. So how exactly are you planning to organize yourselves, and what exactly are in these SOPs?
Okay, it's right from the start point of collecting the funds and how these funds are being used to buy the raw ingredients.
Right.
So the restaurant's contribution would be the manpower. So they have to agree that they have to sponsor the manpower, meaning the chef, the cooks. They have to sponsor the utility part, the gas, electricity, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And these meals that have been produced need to be wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
They need carbohydrates, rice or noodles,
mm-hmm.
Protein, either fish or chicken or egg. They need to have fresh fruits,
mm-hmm.
And ideally dessert. And yes, there are a lot of individuals and companies providing meals to soup kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we want ours to be like a little treat.
Right.
Like for example, during the Mooncake Festival, we provided mooncakes.
Right.
For Christmas, we did like a toy collection for the kids.
Right.
So we want the meals that provided by Meals for All not only is wholesome and nutritional, and it's like a little treat for the festival.
Yeah. So there is a special element to it. So for these restaurants, then, are there quotas that they have to say? For example, you know, you're a restaurant, you have to do say 500 meals a day, 50 meals a day. Is that how it works, or is it just based on the number of meals that the restaurant can help with?
Well, to start off with, I'd like to give them a figure where they need to raise. I would like to give a figure of 100 a month. So, but again, 100 might sound small, but take 10 restaurants, then it's 1,000 meals to a particular soup kitchen.
Right.
So that's what I would like to start off with.
Okay.
And Cindy, of course, you mentioned about, you know, every Thursday giving out food and a whole variety of things to the recipients in Chowkit. I'm made to understand it's about 400 people that sort of show up on Thursday. That's a lot of people, and it's a lot of things to prepare. And do you feel that it's a challenge to get everything together on a week-to-week basis?
Definitely, because, we start preparation as early as Monday, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes Sunday, if we feel that week itself is a tough week. Like, besides the main meals, we do try and strive to get sides for them. Sides like curry puff, muffins, all those are considered sides. Fruits especially, because they love fruits. And we try also to gather enough supplies for diapers and milk formula for the kids.
How do you know what to prepare? I mean, is it through interaction and speaking with them and finding out what their needs are?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, we've been there every day for the past year, more than a year.
Yeah.
And we normally interact with the street clients, and yeah, from there we get to know what they really need. Like, sometimes there was once where a large number of them say that they need backpacks to keep all their stuff, because they're always, you know,
carry it around.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we did that drive for about a month to get 350 backpacks with sleeping bags in it and water tumbler, because those are the two things that they really, really need. And yeah, we thankfully we managed to gather that number of, and we gave up for that week, and everybody's very, very thankful to receive.
Yes, it certainly would be. I am wondering though, have you seen, because you've been doing it for more than a year now, have you seen the situation improve or have the numbers been increasing?
Unfortunately, the numbers have been increasing steadily.
In your interactions with them, why do you think this is the case?
A lot of them just couldn't make ends meet. They are actually, well, 90% I would say, have jobs, not proper jobs maybe, but they do earn on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. But a large sum of their pay goes to their rent. I mean, well, when I say rent, I don't mean a proper house or a proper room even.
Just upkeep.
It's just
in general.
A small space divided in one of the town, shop lots in Chow Keat itself. Because
right.
they need to stay around that area to make easy access to work and stuff like that.
What kind of demographics are we talking about? Are we talking about mainly adults, children?
Well, majority age. Are adults, definitely. Mm-hmm. But we have about 50 to 60 children.
Mm-hmm. And the ratio of females to male?
Well, it's about 70% male.
Right.
Yeah. And normally people would ask if most of them are locals or foreigners. I'd say about 90% are actually local. You know, a lot from Sabah, Sarawak, who come over here thinking that it'll make a better living over here. But yeah, fortunately, the case is not so.
And Ramesh, what is your vantage point when interacting with the folks? I mean, what are you learning from them about what are some of the bigger problems that they're facing as to why they find themselves in this situation?
Well, to be honest, I'm still new in this. I have not really interacted directly to the recipient of our meals. But what I've noticed is that some of them do eat the meal immediately. And some of them do keep it for the next day. So therefore, now when we are preparing our meal, we try to prepare meals that last a bit longer. And so they can, you know, some of them can eat straight away, some of them can eat it the next day. And we will also try to provide as nutritional as possible. Yep.
And nutrition is an important factor as well. What are the considerations when preparing a meal? Because you have other considerations like cost and resources and availability. How do you sort of manage that?
Well, cost, from years of running restaurants, I realized that even with 6 ringgit or 7 ringgit, you can actually prepare a decent meal that consists, like I said earlier, carbohydrates, which are the rice or noodles, a good protein, chicken, fish, egg, fresh fruits. I think a lot of them do not have access to fresh fruits. So if they cover this portion, which is perfectly fine for us.
We're speaking to Ramesh Vadivalu, founder of Meals for All, as well as Cindy Gunn, co-founder of Need to Feed the Need. We'll be right back after this on BFM 89.9. Good evening, I'm Ezra Zayed.
Good evening, I'm Caroline O.
And in the studio with us is Ramesh Vadivalu, founder of Meals for All, as well as Cindy Gunn, co-founder of Need to Feed the Need, two brand new NGOs providing food and assistance for the homeless folks right around the city. Ramesh, there's a concept here called Pay It Forward, and it's something that it's attached to your organization. Can you shed a bit more light about this concept and how food gets to people who are in need of it?
Okay. I first read about the concept of suspended coffee some time ago. This was practiced in Italy, started in Italy, where you can go into a cafe, buy a cup of coffee for yourself, and buy another cup of coffee called suspended coffee. This number of suspended coffees will increase as many people buy it. So if a poor person or a homeless person or even a person who can't afford to buy a cup of coffee can walk into the cafe and claim that particular cup of coffee. So I took this concept of suspended coffee and made it into a suspended meal instead.
So does it work in good faith? Say Ezra, for example, wants to go and claim a free coffee that I've put, you know, maybe yesterday, and he knows about it. He knows it's sitting right there, and he wants to walk in and claim it. Can he just claim it?
Well, actually, I'm just trying to figure out how it works. Like,
of course you are.
No, simply because, you know, when somebody, you know, out of the good nature wants to, you know, suspend a meal, for example, how does he inform somebody who's in need of it to actually claim it?
Well, I mean, there's no guarantees that the person who walks into the restaurant with someone who really can't afford to pay for it.
Right.
But if I'm going to worry about the small percentage who might misuse this, then the bigger chunk, 95 or 99% of people who really need it will not be getting it.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So it does operate on good faith.
And have we seen it flourish in certain parts of the world where it's really taken off?
I've not seen personally, but I've read about it. Mm-hmm. Even in Klang Valley, in Malaysia itself, the concept of suspended meal has picked up, and there are a few restaurants who are actually practicing this, where you can walk into the restaurant, have your own meal, and buy another suspended meal, and someone else can walk into the restaurant and claim that meal.
I think it's a brilliant concept.
Yeah. Recently, I guess in the news, we've seen this whole discussion about the homeless situation, where you had you know, public leaders having a very strong point of view of not providing food towards the homeless folks, and you know, it started this whole discussion, and there's been no real resolution apart from sort of public pronouncements about meeting and strategizing how to deal with this in the long term. What was your reaction to that when everyone was talking about it?
Your reaction, and perhaps the reactions of those that you're dealing with, those that you're helping.
I wouldn't say that the government I wouldn't point fingers and say that, you know, they are stopping us from feeding. Well, they're probably approaching it the wrong way, but I think
I'm sure they had their reasons for why they did so. But at the end of the day, let's look at the brighter side. Now, a lot of people are aware of the actual situation, the actual the need to help the homeless or the urban poor. So what happened 6 months ago, for me, is irrelevant.
It's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. So because of that, indirectly, Meals for All came up. Yep. So let's look at the bright side, and this is what has happened. And let's move forward.
So when we talk about translating that into actual traction, right? So we're saying that all the publicity, you know, so everybody is aware now that we do have, because before the whole thing fell apart, and there were a lot of people, myself included, very guilty of saying, I didn't realize that there was a homeless situation right here in Malaysia. I didn't know anything about it until all of that happened. So do you see a lot of volunteers, or had you seen a lot of volunteers coming forward after that period?
There was a surge of volunteers definitely during that period, especially in a few months after that. And even before that, actually, there are a lot of people who volunteer to come for distribution every Thursday. We are always, you know, we put up the volunteer post and immediately all spots are taken up. So, you know, even before this whole fiasco, the volunteer and help is always there. But this definitely helped boost it a little bit more, I would say.
And so what sort of infrastructure moving forward would you ideally like to see to, I guess, assist your respective NGOs in doing what you do?
Okay, from my side, I think my biggest concern now is supply. And also logistic, because the restaurants can produce the meal, but getting it to the soup kitchen might not be the easiest thing to do, especially when you're looking at, say, 10 different restaurants working together to provide the meal and to send. So logistics is, so we need volunteers in the sense of sending the food over, not only just to raise the funds.
Yep. And Cindy?
Yeah, what would you like to, so you have listeners listening to you, what would you like to ask for moving forward so that you can continue doing the good work that you do?
Oh, definitely more funds for the coming year.
I mean, funds is one thing. How about actually producing the meals itself? Would you need help in that area?
Producing the meals itself, to a certain extent, yes, and that's where Meals for All come in. Because like previously, we would just order from one caterer, and now we have to divide it into three different sections because one caterer would not be able to produce that amount.
The volume.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And the whole logistic issues of bringing from three different caterers to one point on a Thursday night before 8 o'clock in the jam.
Right. Yeah. So people help transport the food. All right. So where can people go to if they would like to volunteer in any capacity?
For Need to Feed the Need, we have a Facebook group page which they can join, and then that's where we call for volunteers. And also from time to time, we have an ingredient of the week where we will ask for maybe diapers. Well, diapers is an ongoing request, but basically we would ask for anything. Like the last one we did was the backpack, the 350 backpacks with the sleeping bag and the water tumbler. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those kind of things. We used to ask for ingredients, really like ingredients for cooking because we used to cook for them.
Right.
Yeah. And then, yeah. So then
check out your Facebook page.
Yes, check out the Facebook group page.
Right.
Yeah. And get in touch with any of the core members there. Then they will point you to
the right direction.
Yeah.
What about you, Ramesh?
As for Meals for All, again, the best place is to go to our Facebook page and write in to us, because at this point we need a lot of help. We are still new, so we need volunteers in terms of administrating Meals for All. We need volunteers to raise funds for us, volunteers to create awareness for us, corporations to have long-term sponsorship and so on. So the best way is just write to us. Our email address is in our Facebook page. And based on your capacity and your capability, then we will see what you can do for us.
All right. So you know where to go. It's Facebook, and it's Need to Feed the Need, as well as Meals for All.
Ramesh, Cindy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
The best. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.